And you're listening to your community radio station. It's KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa. It's time for In the Garden on the Farm.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. I'm your host, Paul Massey, Director of Regeneration's Botanical Garden. And on today's show, with your help, we're going to cross the finish line to our goal for our spring membership drive. And we have a special guest in studio to talk about the beloved Nene, our state bird in Hawaii, and many more things. Before that, we want to thank the generosity of our underwriters, who in partnership with you, the listeners, keep KKCR going strong.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods. Located in the heart of Hanalei, Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building island koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored design and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
The Kauai store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your aqua hydro soil growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all-natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, and more in their 1,700-square-foot warehouse at Pu'i Industrial Park, Lahui. Family-owned and operated. Open Monday through Saturday, 246-4769, 246-GROW.
Yes, indeed. We are here during the spring membership drive, and we are so close, ladies and gentlemen. And dear listeners of our show, we have $710 left to go. We just got an angel pledge. So we're really narrowing down, you guys, and I'm setting the goal for this show to cross us over the $60,000 mark. And we're really close, and my math isn't so great, so I'm going to wait to see. $345. We just got an angel pledge. One more angel pledge at the $365 level will cross us over the finish line to our $60,000 goal. You do get a beautiful Kamoa ukulele for your donation, and the beautiful music will be resonating in your home from your own instrument as well as over the airwaves for time going on here at KKCR, all the great music, the shows. We're so close, and I would be so proud to finish off this fun drive with your help. We've done it before here on In the Garden on the Farm, and we know you guys can help us reach the goal. $345 left. The number to call, 826-7771, 826-7774. Dove, Dean, Laura Christine, and so many volunteers have just been working day in and day out here for the past 10 days or so. And we're just so excited to be reaching our goal. So please, listeners of our show, light up that phone at 826-7771, 826-7774. It's not too late to make a huge difference here. And just fill us with joy as we reach our $60,000 goal with your help. $345 left. So let's see it happen, folks. Today on the show, I'm joined by a special guest in studio. We're going to start with our celestial session as we do, our look to the heavenly skies above for inspiration and guidance on our weekly and daily harvesting, planting, and other gardening and farming activities. And we have another call coming in, so I'm really excited. Thank you, guys. Keep on calling in. But today we're going to look at our celestial session, and starting with our Hawaiian moon for the day, brought to us by the 2016 Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar. Thanks to the Hanalei Watershed Hui and many partners for bringing this information to us. Today's Hawaiian moon is La'au Kulua. And La'au Kulua will rise over Kauai at 10:42 p.m. this evening. She'll reach her transit, her highest point in the sky, at 4:25 a.m. tomorrow. And she will set at 10:09 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday. 85% of the moon's beautiful face will be illuminated. And we have last quarter moon coming up this Sunday at 2:12 a.m. La'au Kulua is the second of three La'au moons, which fall at the end of Poipoi, which is the second Anahulu, or the second 10-day week in the Hawaiian moon month. Poipoi meaning round, rounded, circular, compact, compressed, full as the moon, a sphere, a globe, to gather together in a circle. So we're just nearing that time. The planting recommendations for this particular moon: good for planting mai'a, bananas, ulu, breadfruit, and other trees. It is also a moon recommended for harvesting plants to be used as medicine. And tomorrow will be La'au Pau, which is the moon recommended for administering that medicine. Now for our biodynamic look at things, brought to us by Heaven on Earth Starts. We're now in the ascending moon phase, making it a good time to work with the above ground portions of plants. And starting today, Wednesday the 25th, the moon is in Sagittarius, a fire sign, and recommendations from Robin at Heaven on Earth starts fruit pruning, harvest, and grafting material would be good to be collecting today. Tomorrow through Friday, the moon enters Capricorn, an earth sign, and it's a time to work with our root plants. Pruning, weeding, and feeding would be good on those days. Saturday and Sunday, the moon is in Aquarius, an air sign, and that's a time to work with our flowering plants. Again, good for cuttings and other vegetative propagation Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully we'll get some good weather for that. And then Monday and Tuesday of next week, the moon is in the watery constellation of Pisces, making a good time to work with our leafy plants and good time to plug some of our favorite greens in our garden. So thank you so much to Robin at Heaven on Earth Starts for that. And I want to give a special thanks to the donors we had on last week's show: Eric from Kalaheo, John from Princeville, Atreya from Kilauea, Art, I'm not sure where you live, but thank you so much, Art, and Patty from Mulawa'a were those donors on last week's show, and we just got an angel pledge coming in, and we need a little bit more to cross. We're down to $285, people, to reach our $60,000 goal, so we've got the rest of the hour. I sure would be so proud to be able to cap things off here, and please join us for that. And right now I want to welcome to the studio our special guest. It's Christian Vlauten. He's the project coordinator of the Kauai Nene Habitat Conservation Plan. And I didn't know about this. I'm really glad it's here. Nene, beloved state bird and a familiar sight in our skies here. But when it comes to agriculture, there are some competing interests, and we need to find those ways in which we can coexist in the most mutually beneficial way as possible. So, Christian, thank you so much for joining us on air today.
No problem. Very glad to be here. Thank you.
It's great to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
So, why don't we start off by you giving people an idea about the scope of your project?
Okay. Well, briefly, the Habitat Conservation Plan is a project of the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, DLNR, and we are kind of a side project. And our major goal is to get private citizens and landowners and businesses and farms and things involved in conservation of endangered species, specifically the nene for Kauai. Mm-hmm. And so what we're kind of the nene folk on the island, I guess.
And for those of us who don't know what a nene is, or maybe even think we know, I'm sure your knowledge goes pretty deep. So I'd love to know the history of this bird in the island.
Well, Well, the nene is our state bird. It is a goose. It is a black goose, Branta. And so that means it's one of, say, 9 other black geese in the world, and they are endemic to Hawaii, means they don't live anywhere else. They're the Hawaiian goose, literally and figuratively. And they have been here for about 1 million years or so. Fossil evidence says somewhere between, 800,000 and 1.2 million. Their most direct relative, I guess you could say, is a Canada goose. So, but they are a very distinct species. That's kind of a misconception a lot of people have. But they are Hawaiian through and through. And they've been here. They lived on most of the major islands up through, well, up until very recently. But because of human interference throughout the years, their numbers dwindled down to almost close to 50 individuals left total. But thanks to conservation efforts, both with the federal government, states, and a lot of conservation and groups, have their numbers are starting to rebound. And so we're here to make sure that their numbers can continue to grow while taking into account all the very unique socioeconomic features of Kauai's human element, I guess you could say.
Well said. Well, to their benefit, they do fly. I understand there were a number of flightless geese here in the Hawaiian Islands that met an untimely end due to their ease of capture, or relative ease of capture.
Comparative
ease of capture. Yeah. But this flight, this ability to fly, means that they ingress into areas that may have some competing interests, shall we say. Exciting to hear that you guys are having tomorrow evening a gathering in Kilauea to give the opportunity for farmers and other people who come across nene, shall we say, to voice their concerns, their real-life problems with crop damage or other considerations that they might have. And for people who know that this is an endangered species, it's a pretty, you know, it's obviously a very serious issue. Okay. And, you know, we do a lot of pest management on our farms. And, you know, gosh, if the pig was an endangered species, we'd probably have a pretty hard time there. But I think a lot of farmers do kind of wonder, like, you know, it's almost like the angel of death passing over, perhaps, when there's a large flock of nene flying over a newly planted field, especially if it's something like corn. You were mentioning their preference for grasses, corn, of course, being a type of grass. Yeah. And obviously there are some measures that can be taken. And so great to know that you're giving an opportunity for the community to address their issues.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. This tomorrow night's meeting is one of what we hope to be many. We've had a few already. We were in Hanalei a few months ago, and we were at Waimea last month, and Kilauea is tomorrow night. And what we're trying to do is provide a means of contacting the general populace, specifically the farming community, in this meeting, just so we can not only hear what some of the issues, concerns they may have, but also we're trying to get to the bottom of some of the solutions to these issues. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes, you know, we talk with federal biologists and endangered species, you know, policy people and whatnot, but sometimes the feeling is some of the best solutions can come from the people on the ground actually experiencing these things,
absolutely,
especially farmers who are so tied to their land, so tied to where they live, and they could come up with ideas that maybe people hadn't even heard of over on Oahu or, you know, in Portland or in Washington, D.C. or something along those lines. And so what we're trying to do is hear from the community. We want to hear from them saying, what would you like to do in order to protect your crops? What would you like to do in order to make sure that the nene don't become a nuisance, don't become a liability, and don't become something that you don't like seeing? Because nene, they are the state bird. They are charismatic, to say the least. They are funny little things. And we want to make sure that people don't ever reach a point where they have to choose between their livelihood, their business, and our natural, our wildlife, our natural heritage, and the uniqueness of Kauai's wildlife.
Right. We're looking for that win-win solution.
Exactly, yeah.
And partnering with farmers, of course, is a great thing from a conservation perspective, because farmers really are conservationists.
Oh, absolutely.
And any good steward of the land has a highly tuned sense of observation. Mm-hmm. And so it's the behavior in a very specific sense about how are the nene approaching, how are they landing, what is their practice when they're on the ground.
Exactly.
You know, that somebody who's maybe not a trained conservationist from that community can be making deeply insightful observations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing some hands raised here from Dove. And we...
Yay, that's wonderful.
Okay, I'm putting you on the mic because I don't want to, like, guess what it is you have to tell us, Dev.
Oh, we just... Dave Giroux just came and just called and did the final balance. We hit it, 60,000.
Wow.
It's official. Yay. On In the Garden, on the Farm. Congratulations, everybody.
I can go home. Thank you, guys.
No,
we really appreciate it, you know. It was a good run, and we're still getting phone calls, so
yeah,
much beautiful. Mahalo. I guess that's the end of
It's so awesome to an ending on the garden show. So
I would say it's a combination of good luck on our part that we got to be here when it was just about to peak over. And Dave Giroux, thank you so much, and to all of our donors, all of the new and returning members, mm-hmm. the people who have contributed so much. I'd love to have, you know, the whole crew who's here, like, step into the studio right now and take a bow. Brother Andrew, we just heard from, he's been here day after day after day as one of our volunteer programmers, just lifting our spirits.
Yeah, we've probably had about 150 volunteers in and out of here throughout the 2 weeks, and working tirelessly, and amazing food and people, all businesses. 161 new members we have, so 61 new people jumped on board. So
fantastic.
Completely successful spring membership drive, and... all right.
I think
we're time to celebrate, right?
It's definitely time to celebrate.
Go jump in the ocean. We're going to jump in the ocean.
We can thank him on the
line. We just thanked Dave. Thanks, Dave, for putting us up to the 60,000 levels.
Yeah. So, and who was our angel pledge? Right at the top of the show, we had an angel.
Oh, anonymous.
Well.
Anonymous
an
person.
An anonymous angel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it.
Who wanted to get an ukulele, so.
Right on. Well, we got Inspector Dan standing by with a great big smile on his face. We're all feeling so elated. And thank you so much, listeners. And we're going to be able to continue on with Kauai Community Radio.
Normal scheduling, right? We're back to normal schedule. Thank you, guys. I'd rather play music, you know.
I do want to give out a thank to all the wonderful restaurants who donated superb food during the course of the drive. Harvest Market, and specifically Kayla in Hanalei. I heard she had some cake in here and so many other things, too. Hideaway's Pizza Pub, North Shore General Store in Princeville, the Greenery Cafe in Lihue, Ono Pops, Pauhana Pizza in Kilauea, Tiki Yaniki in Princeville, Yakadu's Organic Bagelry. Love those bagels, Yakadu's. Cousin Rich, Tiki Tacos in Kapa'a, Hanai in Kapa'a, Be Kind Apiary, Tiny Island Chocolate Truffles, John Gordon, Barracuda in Hanalei, Kauai Beekeepers Association, Coconut Cup in Kapa'a, Kealia Farmers Market, Phytolicious Foods, and the Ninth Island Sports Bar and Grill, as well as many individuals who just stopped over with, you know, some really beautiful homemade treats to keep us running and going. And again, we have topped our goal of 60,000, and we've raised $60,060 here for the spring membership drive. 161 new members here on Kauai Community Radio this time around. So if you were involved, and you are involved because you're a listener here, give yourself a big kudos and a big pat on the back, and we say mahalo nui loa to you. And this is In the Garden on the Farm on Kauai Community Radio, KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Paul, your host. I'm here until 1 o'clock. And Tracy's coming in with Kauai Vibrations following that. And I'm here with Christian Vlauten. He is the project manager of the Kauai Nene Habitat Conservation Plan. And we were talking about the value of bringing together the conservation ethics and observation skills of farmers with those who make policy, as well as the scientists like Christian, who know how to compile these various perspectives on endangered species and come up with some good ways forward where we can ensure that our environment and all of those individual biological components that make it up have a place with human activity. And we're speaking specifically about the nene. This is the Hawaiian goose, the black goose, I've just learned.
Well, it is a black goose.
It is one of nine.
I believe it's nine species.
Nine species on the planet. So this is a very rare and wonderful bird. Mm-hmm. We've seen them around, but they are. They're pooping, they're eating crops sometimes. What other kinds of, now this, you've got a meeting coming up tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center receive input from the community, concerns, ideas, proposals, you know, hey, what if we tried this kind of thing. You've already had some meetings in other parts of Kauai. What sort of feedback are you getting already?
Well, I think a lot of what as we move forward, it's a trust building issue, I think, because oftentimes, and especially true, well, in any aspect of the community, we want people to understand who we are, where we are, what we can do, and then hopefully the more of these meetings we have, the more people we can attend. But the attendance that we have had at our public meetings, whether it's these ones, looking at, say, the agricultural community, which we've had a few, but we've also done meetings where it's just, we call it our Know Your Nene Talks, and we go out and just teach people about the nene and teach people about their biology, and because a lot of the questions that people have about them we can answer, and then they can understand, well, why are the nene in my garden at this time of the year, or why are they flying overhead at this time of the year? And so we can, you know, just fill people in on the unique the natural history of the animals. But
right.
To answer your question, we've been getting a lot of good feedback. Some of our earlier meetings with the agriculture community was we were looking to understand what the issues were, what the concerns were, what the problems were, if there were any. And then now we are moving forward. We've compiled a list of everything. It's available on our website, kauainenehcp.com. And people who are just curious about would like to better understand what some of the community's concerns are, they can go to the website and they can find out all of these things. And then tomorrow night and probably next month, we'll go out in Westside down to Waimea again, and we hope to have a similar meeting where now we want to talk about solutions. Everybody, you know, like you said, farmers especially, landowners, they have these wonderful observational skills, and these people know the land, they know the plants, they know the animals, and they understand some of these things that maybe even policymakers may not, or conservation, you know, biologists might not understand. And so we want to be able to take some of the knowledge on the land of the people that live here, and we want to make sure that those facts are put into place when the future of the nene is planned. We want the Habitat Conservation Plan, and HCP is which we are, and they're basically a means of getting the private, the public involved, well, the private citizens, the general public involved in policy decisions, and we want their input, and that's all we need. We need as much voice of the community as possible. So
right.
When we bring these things forward to the Fish and Wildlife Service, the United States, or the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, we want to make sure that the people's voices are heard in these documents.
Right. Awesome. So I'm curious, are you hearing from any farmers that there is significant impact to their crops?
Yes, we are.
From the nene?
We are. We are hearing from different areas of the island. And the interesting thing is it's different crops and at different times of the year. And so what may be happening on a farm out, you know, in Kekaha might be different from what's going on a farm in Anahola. And even if they're growing the same crops, nene might only be eating them at a certain, maybe a 1 week period and certain crops and stuff like that. And so all of this is good data. And from a scientific point of view, it's fascinating because we need to know more about what's going on with the nene. And so we depend on the farmers and the agriculture community to give us this information so we know what we have to kind of, you know, what some of the issues are we have to solve.
Right, indeed. Well, from a anecdotal piece from a farmer collaborator, a friend of mine, my good Betty Ken, planting corn last year and having some pretty significant impact to the corn shortly after emergence from the soil.
Shoots.
Replanted and used Rime or ag fabric to cover completely permeable by both sunlight and water, mm-hmm. just a simple sort of very light fabric you place over the soil during that establishment period, mm-hmm. and then no problem. So, like, easy, didn't have to be any kind of expensive solution, really easy, and then, goodness, once you have that remain in hand, it's obviously nene are not the only birds we have problems with in the field, and whether we're growing a grass crop like corn or maybe we're growing a cover crop, the birds are going to get in there, of whether they're an endangered species or not, and sometimes a simple solution like a simple agricultural fabric on the field can be all the fix that it takes.
Yes, and that's exactly the type of information we're looking for from every farmer. You know, we want to hear what you've tried, what you would like to try, you know, what has worked, what maybe hasn't worked, and it's interesting that you mentioned a very good fact that it's not just nene, it's a lot of other animals, both endangered and non-endangered. I mean, you have the rosary parakeets, and you have all of the rest of these animals that can impact farmers. It's not just a single bird. And so while we at the Nene Habitat Conservation Plan are, of course, focused on nene, we are hoping that a lot of these solutions can be used for any number of different animals. And part of our goal is to come up with solutions that work for everybody on the island, whether we can help them or not, because while every farm is different and every crop is different, at the same time there's some solutions that could, you know, be transferable to other areas as well. So that's what we're hoping.
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen.
Well, we hope to.
One question I have too about the geese. We have just a few ducks in our food forest, and we chose the Muscovy duck, and so we have awareness about the fact that the Koloa, which is the native duck, which is also protected by the U.S. Endangered Species Act as well, I believe, and the Muscovy being the least related to the least closely related duck, and some people would even say it's not really a duck, it's sort of halfway between a duck and a goose, but the likelihood of an unintended cross-breeding situation is much reduced. And then I even heard either that no viable offspring would be produced, or if they were, it would be kind of like a mule, and then that generation would not be able to produce a viable offspring. But now let's transfer this concept over to the goose, and while we found that it's certainly nice to have these ducks in our food forest. We were hoping that they would be doing some weed control for us, and they are not eating the grasses nearly as much as we thought they would. And I know that people do use domestic breeds of geese in the Hawaiian Islands for, you know, meat, for wheat and pest control, for eggs, etc. So all of that to say, is the keeping of domestic geese even allowed here on Kauai? What is the risk of an unintentional crossbreeding between geese in captivity of a different species or type than the nene itself?
Well, I can't speak to the legality of keeping other species of geese. I'm sorry, I don't have the knowledge of the laws, but I've seen plenty of Muscovy around, and I know there's some other swans and things I've seen around. Shoot, there's some peacocks here as well, peafowl. And so I can't speak to what, you know, the legality of that, but I have heard of a few very anecdotal stories about nene crossbreeding with Canada geese, but as far as Muscovies go, I don't think I've never heard of anything of this sort. But you did mention Koloa, which is our endangered and our endemic duck, and there is a large worry and a concern that Koloa are crossbreeding with mallards and other ducks. And so that is, whenever you bring, you know, an endemic species or a native species in contact with a foreign species or even an invasive species, oftentimes the native species doesn't win. And so there is, I applaud you for being concerned about these things, mainly for the reason that you don't want to ever upset the natural balance and the natural order of things in that regard. And so but it is good to know, it's good to point out that nene are obligate vegetarians, which means, unlike, say, the Koloa duck, they only eat plants. And so while Koloa will eat snails and worms and bugs, and chickens will do the same thing, the nene are really good at just taking out. So when you mention weed control, encouraging, you know, vegetarians such as this or herbivores can actually show a benefit. And it just kind of shows that the presence of an endangered species like the nene is necessarily always a liability on somebody's lands, and they can have benefits above and beyond the very easy looking one. It's just that simply there are wonderful animals to have around. You want to encourage native species on your land. You want to encourage some of the wonderful biodiversity of Kauai here. And we want to, you know, it is a selling point. People come from all over the world to see our, not just, you know, the Waimea Canyon or Napali Coast, the physical features, but also the birds and the animals. And we have more threatened and endangered, we have more endemic species here on the island than anywhere else in the state, and the state has more endemic species than anywhere else in the country. So we are, in this very small 500 square miles, we have more unique special animals and plants than anywhere else on the planet, and it's celebrated. And so the nene is one small facet of that.
Indeed. And you shared the good news that the nene populations are rising. We're having a recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Fast in effect. Where are the numbers at, and at what point, I mean, are we anywhere close to even a delisting situation?
Sure.
Or how would that occur?
The nene numbers are recovering. They are going up, which is one of the rare instances where you can say that about an endangered species in this country, sadly. But and because of recovery efforts, their numbers have gone from maybe 50 individuals in the wild in the mid-1950s up to now. I think the most current updated federal numbers I've gotten is above 2,500 statewide. And of that, about half are here on Kauai. And so we have, Kauai is very, very well suited for nene recovery, which is why we have so many for them of them. And then there are a few populations on other islands. Big Island has some, Maui has some, Molokai has a few. Oahu has a very, very small number. I think there's three. They got blown over in a storm and they set up shop. And so they are slowly recovering on other islands. Kauai has two things that make it unique. That make it so special for nene recovery. One is we don't have any mongoose, or barely any mongoose. There's a few sightings every now and then, but the wonderful people at KISC, the Endangered Species Committee,
we love you, Pat,
are making sure that the mongoose don't get a foothold here, which would just decimate a lot of native bird populations.
Sure.
And we also have a lot of grassland. There's a lot of areas for nene to be that don't necessarily have to butt up against human development. And part of our job at the HCP is to come up with, like you mentioned, a win-win situation where we can have areas for nene to be nene without having to some of these concerns about somebody harming them or being liable for that, or the nene eating their crops, or being a danger to humans, or because of road strikes and things along those lines.
Right. So without being a mathematician, I'm going to use the word exponential, and just as a general concept, as it's used in the general vernacular.
Uh-huh.
So is it possible that as the population increases and the potential habitat on Kauai is so suitable for them, like you're saying, that we're going to see a doubling of the population and it's going to just balloon to the point where we'll see nene on our Thanksgiving dinner plates at some point?
To put it not quite that bluntly, but I think the end goal for every endangered species, every species that is on the endangered species list, both on a federal level and also state endangered level, is to make them so plentiful that there is no longer a concern. Nene have been protected for, well, I think one of the first wildlife protection laws ever passed in the territory was in 1907, and that was a prohibition against nene hunting. And so it's kind of nene has a long-standing story of conservation efforts, and the people of Hawaii have appreciated nene and have known nene and have interacted with nene for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, and some of them are part of the creation myth. And because of that, I think everybody wants the nene to do so well that there is no longer need for protection laws and things along those lines. But at the same time, I can't speak to what the recovery numbers are going to do next year or the year after. And as far as delisting or downlisting goes on a federal level, that's a process that takes a very long time. And so in the meantime, what the HCP is here to do is to make sure that any issues or concerns that the populace has are addressed as we move forward, while the federal government can consider delisting or downlisting the birds in the long run.
Right. Fantastic. So, Christian, once again, if you could give out an invitation to the Kilauea or the North Shore community to join you tomorrow night.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, everybody is encouraged to come out and, if you have any concerns or worries or issues or just some pro-nene thoughts or stories, we would love to hear them. And we're just looking to talk to everybody in the community, no matter if you're a farmer or not. This meeting is, we're trying to talk to the agricultural community, but of course, everybody is welcome. It's the Kilauea community Association Building and Community Center, and it's from 6 to 8. What we're going to be doing is kind of talking with the audience. People come in, and what we're going to be doing is coming up with anticipated solutions, what people would like to see happen on their property, what people would like to be able to do to grow their business or grow their crops, or, you know, just to be able to live their lives without concern or worry about having an endangered species there. Our job is to come up with, to talk to the community, come up with these solutions, and then make sure that these actions can be put into play.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much for the work you're doing. I hope you have a great turnout tomorrow night.
Yeah,
and you have a beautiful website, by the way. Please give that out again.
Oh, definitely. It's kuainenehcp.com. And we urge everybody to go. There's a big splash page. It says, tell us your thoughts about the Nene, and we want to hear everything. And there it also has a bunch of information about the natural history of the Nene, what they eat, where they live, how long they live, all of those wonderful things. And also there's up-to-date documents on what the HCP has been doing, upcoming events. I mentioned, of course, this one tomorrow night. We have another one in Waimea probably next month. And everything Nene, you can come check it out, and we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email or just go directly to the website. There's a contact information there about it.
Great. Christian, thank you so much for your work.
No problem, Paul. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for the invitation.
You're always welcome here at KKCR. We'd love to hear an update about how it's going anytime.
Soon enough, yeah. We'll keep you informed. That's what we want.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thanks to Christian. We're taking care of our Nene. And thanks to good people all around the Hawaiian Islands. We are conserving our native plants. And wanted to share with you great time I had last night at Dr. Carol Baskin's lecture at KCC. She's been here in the Hawaiian Islands with her husband, Dr. Jerry Baskin, to provide primary reason they came over is to provide training for the Hawaii Seed Bank Partnership this past weekend. Their focus is on dormancy of seeds. And dormancy is one of the many things that makes the conservation of native plants such a challenge. Bringing these seeds back to life or waking them up so that they can germinate and eventually be outplanted in the field to reestablish endangered species, plant species populations. So dormancy is a mechanism from the seed to delay germination until the environmental conditions are suitable for the plant to reestablish in the wild. And there's lots of different kinds, but the rare native seeds here present a special challenge in understanding the dormancy. Are we looking at a dormant seed, or are we looking at a seed that has a seed that's having difficulty germinating because it's suffering from genetic problems due to low population numbers? That would be one of the reasons. So the native Hawaiian flora presents a really special challenge, and was really great as well to meet Dustin. He's the new manager of the rare seed bank down there at the National Tropical Botanical Garden, and thanks so much to them as well as to Kauai Community College for having Dr. Carol Baskin as the feature lecturer yesterday. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what I gleaned from the lecture about seed dormancy. She again, Doctors Baskin and Baskin, Jerry and Carol, have been studying seed dormancy and the geography, the biogeography of it around the world. They studied over 16,000 plant species to correlate different activities of the seed. They came up with a new classification for dormancy of seeds, and I'm going to lay them out for you really quickly because I thought they was really interesting. There's physiological dormancy, morphological dormancy, morphophysiological dormancy, that's a great word to say, physical dormancy, and what's called combinational dormancy, which is a combination of physical dormancy and physiological dormancy. So let's take each one of these in turn. Physiological dormancy is by far the most common and the most diverse, found throughout various ecological zones on the planet. And it also has many different types. That's the diversity about physiological dormancy of seeds. Basically, this is what I get. This is my dumbed-down version of Dr. Baskin's presentation, at any rate. This is what I got. It's controlled by the delay of germination gene in a seed has to be present, which is the acronym for that is DOG. So it's the dog one gene, and as a dog lover, I really appreciated that. But it's also in combination with abscisic acid, which prevents a seed from germinating, as well as the levels of gibberellins, including gibberellic acid, that help seeds to begin germination. And gibberellic acid is probably familiar to some people who know about propagating plants, because it's often used as an additive to stimulate the growth of seeds as well as the growth of plants in general, cuttings and that sort of thing. So moving on from physiological dormancy, morphological dormancy refers to an immature embryo that needs to grow before the seed can germinate. And a typical example of that, I was surprised to learn, is carrot. And so Dr. Baskin had a really interesting cross-section of a carrot seed showing how tiny the embryo actually is when you're holding an ungerminated seed in your hand. Carrot being one of the agricultural crops that has seeds that kind of take on the longer end to germinate, a couple weeks. And so what's actually happening during that time, it's not just sleeping, but the embryo is actually growing from maybe, it looked like maybe 5% or 10% of its total size as a starting place, and that embryo needs to grow fully inside the seed before the seed can actually germinate. And moving on from there, we have physical dormancy of seeds. This would be familiar with our legumes, or seeds that have a basically an impermeable barrier or an exterior of the seed that prevents the imbibition of water into the seed. And so this is basically just a seed with a tough seed coat. And as we know, we can scarify seeds like that to allow water to enter. We could also do a hot water soak. We don't want to make that water too hot. 160 degrees is usually pretty safe for half an hour. But often even room temperature water can be used overnight to help seeds imbibe. You don't want to scarify seed and soak it in water. You want to do one or the other. But that would be physical dormancy. And through their research, they showed that the plant types, meaning a tree, a shrub, a vine, an herbaceous plant, doesn't correlate with the type of dormancy. It's just kind of all over the place. Nature's using whatever technique it needs to achieve that ability for the seed to wait until conditions are right for it to germinate and establish in the environment. And we also learned that it's actually that time where the environmental conditions are wrong that actually break the dormancy. So if you have a dry period, the seed actually needs to go through the dry period to actually signal that it should wake up for the wet period. And so as if we're germinating these seeds, and especially wild seeds, out of their natural habitat, we need to mimic the natural conditions found to actually make them germinate. Wasn't surprised to learn that half of all tropical rainforest seed has no dormancy, and that actually would have been the last type or classification would be seeds that don't have any dormancy at all and need to be sown straight away. There's nothing preventing it from needing to germinate, certainly not surprising in a tropical rainforest where conditions are moist and wet 365 days a year. There's no need for those seeds to wait to germinate. So once again, really fun for a seed nut like myself and the others in attendance to hear Dr. Carol Baskin's lecture. Unfortunately, they were leaving on a flight today. Unfortunate for us that I didn't get a chance to get her in the studio and have a chat. But they'll be back again. They're on their way to China, where they're doing a lot of consultation with researchers there on understanding the complexities of seed dormancy in the conservation of the incredible flora of China. So thanks so much to NTBG, the National Tropical Botanical Garden, and KCC for bringing us this lecture series. And thank you so much for tuning in to In the Garden on the Farm. I do have a few announcements before we say goodbye. Today is the deadline for the paid summer ag internship program, which is being held in Hanalei, Kilauea, and Waimea. Thanks to Malama Kauai Participants will work full-time, 40 hours a week, and have an opportunity to learn about agriculture, agroforestry, natural resources, farming, and more, gaining work experience. It is paid. It's a great thing. MalamaKauai.org for more information. Again, the Kauai Nene Habitat Conservation Plan public meeting coming up tomorrow, Thursday, May 26th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center, and gaining great insight from all of us out there who observe the Nene and observing any potential problems or opportunities to support their conservation and not harm our farms, gardens, or other human activities. The Waipa Community Work Day is coming up this Saturday, May 28th. It happens every fourth Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Waipa Foundation, located just a little bit further west from Hanalei. They do follow the work day with lunch, and no doubt that is going to be featuring some of the beautiful food that's grown at Waipa. The work is focused on controlling invasive weeds and planting native trees and other useful edible plants. And there is a request to RSVP to Emilia at 831-566-4575. And you're encouraged to bring a water bottle, shoes, boots, tabis, change of clothes, towel, snacks, you know, be prepared. You're going outside, you're going to be working, and it's a good group of people, and they have a lot of fun. So we always like to encourage people to support Waipa, one of our premier cultural and environmental and community-building organizations here on Kauai. There's a feral hive split and swarm recovery class happening at Kauai Community College beginning on Saturday, June 4th. With instructor Jimmy Trujillo, who's also a programmer here at KKCR, but he is a long-standing manager of the Kauai Community College B program, and you can get more information about that upcoming class at Kauai OSET. You can call them at 245-8318, or you can do an internet search for Kauai OSET, O-C-E-T, and you'll find it. And I want to thank so much the donors during the course of this show.
Yay! You just got an angel, by the way. I just wanted to tell you.
Come on.
Another angel just came
another
in.
Another angel. So tremendous, guys. We've raised 800 and what did we do?
870 on your show pushed us over the top.
And we raised $870 on last week's show for a total of $1,740 thanks to... No, that's not right.
Sit. We've got numbers everywhere. Right?
$1,740 over the 2 week show. I'm really bad at math. But we've gone over our $60,000 mark. We've raised $60,000, $560,000.
You're a plants guy, right? Do plants do math? I don't know.
I don't know, man. But I want to thank the people who called in on today's show to top us over the mark. Ellie from Lawai, I love you so much, Ellie. Yay. Gilroy from Lawai. Doug from Kauai. Nihi from Kealia. Marshall from Princeville, love you, buddy. And Dave from Kauai. And we just got another angel pledge. That was actually a recording there. But at any rate, there has been great food we've been consuming during the course of the fund drive, and I just want to throw it to Dove here. He's our volunteer coordinator and does so much at the station, and everybody's having a lot of fun here.
Yeah,
so
all the volunteers, amazing throughout these 2 weeks, just amazing. But over the top of anybody for this drive that we need to thank the most, who really kept the whole thing afloat, is Laura Christine. And I just want to put it out to Laura Christine, because... without Laura Christine in the office, we would have all just been lost in space.
Totally.
And so I just want to put big shouts out to Laura Christine, our office assistant, for holding it all together. So, and of course, Dean, our manager, and all the other amazing people involved in this radio station, all the volunteers and businesses and food donators, and just and of course you, the listener who called in with their donation. And really, really beautiful to see this drive. More than any of the drive I remember, were a lot of smaller donations, really grassroots. We didn't really have any big donations. Just a lot of, you know, $25 donations, but all those add up. And we had 162
new members. So that's a beautiful thing, too. So welcome to the Ohana of KKCR Radio Station if you're a new member. And we will not be having to do this fun drive till the fall. So all summer you get to listen to our cool programming and shows and music, and I have a feeling it's going to be a really amazing summer of radio here at your community radio station. So happy summer, and right on. And whoever gave us this little box, this little sound box, we've never had one of these before, but whoever gave us this box, we've had it the whole drive, and it was pretty funny to have it. Does it say on there who gave that to us? Oh, return to Cinder. Oh, it shoots. It says, please return to shoots after the fun drive. That's funny. Anyway, great community of humans involved in this radio station. And thank you. Right on. Mahalo. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, that was Dove. He knows what's going on. I want to know why Dean hasn't come to the mic since we've got over 60,000. Those guys are just having, they're tallying things up. I want to hear from Laura Christine. I'm really proud of the listeners. Here comes Dean right now, station manager.
Speech!
You got to say something, yeah, right.
Dean. Something, Dean. I would just want to say thank you, mahalo, nui aloha, to all of the people who pledged during this fun drive. It's been fun. Mm. We actually reached our goal.
Woo! Yay!
But that doesn't mean stop participating and stop supporting community radio. It's a 24-hour day, 7 day a week, 365 days a year. We just keep right on rolling, and we appreciate the support all year long. And if it's not checks coming in, it's your volunteer energy. We're just as thankful to have come walking up that driveway and join us in here. So if you want to participate in community radio, give us a call, 826-7774 or 826-7771. It's not only about the money, but it takes money to function, and you guys have made it big this time.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Tina B, and I want to thank Laura and Dove and
Christine.
Lindsay and all of the amazing volunteers from you, Paul and Tracy. And everyone. Yay. We're like completely, it's like running a marathon every day for 2 weeks. That's kind of what it feels like,
it.
Emotionally.
We finished. Thanks to Paul. Paul, thank you so much for putting us over. The drive is officially over, and we are so grateful to everyone who pledged their support.
In the world.
Best listeners, greatest Ohana, KKCR Ohana.
And
we're so grateful. They're supporters.
Members. Our listeners have become members, and we have over 160 brand new members. That is fantastic.
162
new members. That's awesome.
Welcome, and mahalo nui loa.
Yay.
Welcome to the family.
We are tuned to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Hanalei. Thank you. To the top of the hour, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, and K284AL Haleiwa. Woo! Yeah. Anyway, well, we're all very happy here, and I hope you're joining us in this celebration of our successful over-the-top membership pledge fun drive. So, big mahalo.